From the lathe, Parshas Lech Lecha, a great opportunity for me. I'm very excited to be able to give lessons from the lathe and my home to the wonderful Shana Bet people who have been held hostage here this evening because they wanted to get some good food, hang out with the rabbi, and now they have to do a lessons from the lathe. I will not be around this week, so I'm not able to do it in my regular time. I don't know what we're going to do next week. Mirza Shem will figure something out. In any case, Lech Lecha, this is a message just for you guys. I don't have yet what the topic is. Yonah didn't have to put out a sign, so I didn't come up with it yet. Something, I don't know, keep pushing, something like that. I don't know, we'll see where it goes with it. So Lech Lecha, of course, is famous for the first pasuk, Lech Lecha. Now, I don't know if you guys will remember this. I remember this very well, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think I'm right. I believe it was this year. It was either this year or last year, but I think it was this year when we went to Rabbi Lau. Chief Rabbi Lau, who, as you guys know, we're going to have a little problem this year when we go visit him. I believe he retired. He is retiring from his position as Chief Rabbi of Tel Aviv, of course, former Chief Rabbi of Israel. And he told over the following vort at that session. And if it wasn't then, I apologize. Maybe it was 2 years ago. We go around Pesach time, so it had to do with Pesach. But he related it, and I remember that. I remembered it. I can't believe I remembered it until now. The pasuk tells us, Vayomer Hashem el Avram Lech Lecha. He gives him this command, the first of the 10 tests, and he tells him not just to go, Lech Lecha, right? Go for yourself. Mi Artzecha, from your land. Mi Moladecha, from where you were born. Umi Beis Avicha. So go from your land, from your relatives, from your father's house. El Haaretz Asher Echa, the land that I will show you. So, Rabbi Lau asks, Rabbi Lau says, this is really a big command here. Go for you, cut all ties. Now, there's a whole, if you want to look at, I believe, a lesson from the lathe from the past, we discussed different areas of Amuna in this inyan. But he says, cut all ties. Cut ties from your land, cut ties from your family, and cut ties from your own father. A very difficult edict. And go to the land. Doesn't say which land. We'll get to that in a moment. Says Rav Lau, isn't it interesting that the last of the 10 tests, according to many, okay, according to Rashi and the Rambam, the last of the tests was Akedas Yitzchak. And there in Akedas Yitzchak, it says the same thing. Unbelievable. Vayomer Parshas V'yei Kach Na Es Bincha Es Yechidcha Asher Ahavta Et Yitzchak V'lech Lecha El Eretz HaMoria. Go up to the mountain of Moria. So some want to say on a beautiful level, first God takes him to the promised land and then takes him to the promised place, the place of the Beis HaMikdash. But Lech Lecha is bookends. First test, last test. So Rav Lau goes into his own idea, which he explained to us, the idea of this cutting off. You know, you come to your year in Israel, so we don't ask for Chas V'Shalom, you know, like in my day, where you really did cut off ties, because, you know, I'm not dating myself and saying, in my day, we didn't fight the land of... Yeah, you talk to your parents if you're lucky once a week, some people once a month. You cut off ties, mamish. There was no emails, there's no internet, there's no WhatsApp, there's nothing. And you got these weird letters every so often. My year, they came out with something called a fax machine. It was a stark Orion, except the fax machine in those days were still on a roll. So you get this really hard-to-read roll, and you would get it, and it was like, you know, $80 a page. It was like a big deal if somebody sent you a fax. So you cut your ties, but he didn't mean it like that. He said that you see that Avram's great test was, cut yourself off from the past, and then he tells him to cut yourself off from the future, which seemed to make no sense. And of course, it didn't happen, Baruch Hashem. But whatever Hashem says, we have to follow. And no matter how difficult it is, we have to follow what the edict of Hashem is. And that was the greatness of Avram Avinu. And Masa Ovo Simon Abadim starts with this parasha of Avram Avinu teaching us that. He did not have an easy life. Besides the 10 tests, many say, he had many other trials and tribulations, many other ones. He withstood all of them, and in fact, one of the amazing ones is that he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and a few psukim later, what does it say? Vayhi ra'av ba'aretz. He's like, I don't understand. In your language, dude, I finally found the place. I didn't get lost. The GPS worked. And now there's no food here. I have to go to Mitzrayim. What's going on here? Another test. But there's more to this. There's much more to this. There's a famous Yid, Rav Nachman of Chernobyl. Rav Nachman of Chernobyl was well known for going around his neighborhood and other places around and getting Jews out of jail. It was very common in those days that a Jew would be sentenced to jail for nothing other than being Jewish, whatever fake charges they found. And it was one day of the days where he found himself in a city that he did not know, and out of nowhere he got arrested, and he was arrested, and as luck would have it, of course, he was sentenced to jail. So a tzaddik comes, and who's going to get Rav Nachman out of jail, of Chernobyl, when he was the guy who got the other people out of jail? It was a very difficult situation. A tzaddik came to visit him to give him a little comfort. And he said to him, you know, my dear Rabbi Nachman, you are Avram Avinu. Because Hashem told him, Lech Lecha, to burn your ties. Why? Because Avram was known Chesed LaAvram. Nobody knew better the mitzvah of Chesed, the mitzvah of Hachanasas Orchim, like Avram Avinu. How did Avram know it so well? Because he was that foreigner. Because Hashem took him to a land that he didn't know. He couldn't pick up the phone and call his father anymore. He couldn't call his relatives. He couldn't talk about the land that he used to live in. He felt lonely. He felt desolate. He says, "Ah, now I understand. I don't want anybody to ever feel that way again, so I'm going to open my tent for anybody to come. And I'll give them food and I'll make them feel at home." He says, "You, Rav Nachman of Chernobyl, you feel the same way. Now you're in jail. Now you know what it feels like. You'll be able to do your task." And then more in Baruch Hashem, he got out of jail. But we who have been through the trials and tribulations of Shana Aleph have an obligation to sit with our fellow Shana Aleph guys now that we're Shana Bet and talk about your trials and tribulations. Because, you know, if little Harstein or Big Harstein talks to them about it, they're going to be like, "All right, Rabbi, yeah, you went to Israel, what, in 1943? I'm like, "No, it was 45. You know, like, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. "Oh, my, you're in Israel. Okay, very funny. You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't understand." But you're like, if you go to the guy and be like, "Yeah, I was there like a year ago," you know, like, "I get it. Here were my trials. Here's what you got to do. Here's something, you know." It would be nice, you know, I don't mean this honestly, but a little bit. You know, if you put a little notes on their bed before they came, the Shana Bet guys did, and said, "Hey, here's some things that I learned that I should have done. I wish you did that. You know, if you do this, you'll succeed." You're in their shoes. You know it because you went through it. We're going to get back to this point because I think that this is also not just trials and tribulations, probably going through what you're going through right now either as well. Which is, okay, I made a decision, not an easy decision, to continue my Jewish education another year to set a standard for excellence that you have no idea how lucky that you've decided. But there's still going to be trials and tribulations. How do I deal with that? We'll get back to that. The Chafetz Chaim tells us that we met Avram's father in last week's parsha, the great leader of Avodah Zarah, who owned the first idols are us. I think that went bankrupt. And Terach. We meet him in last week's parsha, and it says that Terach was going to go to Eretz Canaan. He was on his way there. And he got a little lost in Haran. A lot of idols, a lot of good things going on for him. And he didn't fulfill his task. And it was Avram Avinu who did. And he speaks about the idea of being obsessed with your goals. Generally, we say obsession is a bad thing. You can get arrested for it in certain situations. But he says obsession is actually a good thing when it comes to goals. The Chafetz Chaim says, you got to set your goals, set the bar high, and then do it and accomplish it. You can do it. And that's what Avram set out to do, and it wasn't easy. But I want to say even further. Lech Lecha teaches us something fundamental. It's a sefer. Well, first of all, there's a sefer called Birchas Peretz. Birchas Peretz is written by the Stipler Gaon. We don't have it in the base Medrash. I couldn't find it on Hebrew, but couldn't find it. I saw it quoted somewhere. It's in one of the libraries. I didn't think you were important enough for me to actually to go all the way to Masas Mordechai to do it, because my wife actually went on that street. They're redoing Dolev, and we got a nail in our tire. I'm like, okay, that was a sign from Hashem not to learn more Torah. No. So in the beginning of the parasha, when it says Lech Lecha, look at this wonderful idea. Rashi says the following. Rashi says, what does it mean, as we said before, to go to this place? Why didn't Hashem say where he's going at least? Right? Set your destination on Waze, and then you'll know. Okay, even if it's going to take, you know, and it's calculating, and it says, you will reach your destination in 14 days, you know, whatever it is. I don't know how, right? In 45 days, whatever it is. Okay, you know you're going the right way. Right? Turn left. You know, like, why not? So Rashi says, Lo gil ha'aretz. Hashem did not reveal where he was going. Miyad. Kidei shechaviva be'enav. It should be precious in his eyes. Latet lo schar. Al kol divo b'divo. And later on, of course, he quotes, Ki yotzeba es bincha es yichidcha asher haf. That's interesting. He speaks about that same Lech Lecha as we spoke about. So, the Stipler says something beautiful. Every step of Avraham Avinu, not knowing where he was going, he was anxious. He had great anxiety. Maybe I went the wrong way. Right? Lahavdil, but there's such a show on TV, I'm told, people have told me. And I don't have cable here, like somebody asked me. There's a show where they get put into a forest or, you know, one of these places, and they have to find their way out, right? And the gazillion cameras and the whole thing, and it's a great zach, right? And you're like, oh, right, the guy's about to die. This is really funny. And then sometimes they get out, and sometimes they lose. I don't know, whatever it is. But imagine, right, the guy's walking, and then, you know, the TV guy gets on, and obviously they don't hear what he's saying. They're like, Jack is an idiot. He's been going around in circles for 8 hours. He will die soon. You know, like, we'll be right back, you know? So Avraham Avinu has this great anxiety. He doesn't know. Maybe he's in the wrong direction. And then he sees the promised land. And he's like, wow, he's so joyful. More joyful than if he would have known where he was going. Lahavdil again. You surprise your kids and you take them on the vacation. We're going to Disneyland. We're going to Disney World. But you don't tell them where you're going. We're going to Wally World. You don't tell them we're going to Wally World. And they get in the car and they go, this, it's going to be so, unless you get into like car accidents and the dog dies and the grandmother does, unless all that stuff. But if that doesn't happen, the kids get there, wow, Dad, I didn't know this is really where we're going. This is unbelievable. Well, how deal? But you understand the idea. You reach the destination, all those obstacles make it even so much better. Says the Stipler, that's what Liman HaTorah is. Liman HaTorah is to stay connected, despite the frustration. If you were in my shoes, when I was in your shoes, you opened up a piece of Gemara and you said, okay, shun a bet now. Something magical is going to happen. You know, June's man wasn't great. Well, the 2 days in June that I was in Yeshiva. Now that's it. Now it's September. I'm going to open up the Gemara and I'm going to know it now because I'm shunning bet now. That's what happens. And you start to doubt yourself. Privately, of course. Wow, maybe I just really shouldn't be here. I still can't read a Gemara. Tosfos forget about. I still have a problem even reading Rashi print. Says the Stipler, but what do? No, I'm staying Shana Bat. I'm doing it. I don't care. Maybe I'm Lev L'Chayal and Hashem put me in a situation that all of a sudden this year now it's serious and I have to actually learn. That's not fair. And I'm going to struggle through it. Oh, but when you finish it, it's so much sweeter. So much sweeter when you finish that Gemara. Even if it's just a daf. Even if it's just a mishnah and you did it yourself. Much better than when you could have just taken out the art scroll and you could have stood on your laurels and said, no, that's why Hashem created an art scroll. For me to put my feet up, take out my cigar and my brandy. No. Struggle. I don't know if you guys ever heard this before. There's a book called Jastrow. Everybody ever hear of it? Yeah, it's a word-fine book, yeah. I see that this year in Nebuch Lo Aleinu, nobody's telling guys to put their phones away. But your excuse last year used to be, like I say, guys, come on, put your phone away. Ah, I'm looking up a word. Okay, whatever. So we used to have, you know, and you work on it hard. And I don't know if you ever felt this yet. You feel so good about yourself. Sometimes you'll have this experience. You'll read the same mimer. You saw the same piece that you read already once. The same Rashi. You read this Rashi when you were in it. Oh my God, now I understand this Rashi. Wow. I feel so good. That's Torah. Don't give up. If you toil and you get it, there'll be tremendous joy. Learning equals effort. Struggling for something actually increases your memory. Tell a story about the Chafetz Chaim. He said he met an older man, an alter yid, who had seen the famous Tsar of Russia back in the day. And he starts telling the Chafetz Chaim every detail about the visit. And for some reason, the Chafetz Chaim is totally listening to him. He says, "Amen." And I remember his boots, the color of his boots, and how shiny they were. And I remember the way the horse even looked. I read every detail. He says, "Why did he remember all this?" He said he remembered every single detail because it was an unbelievable experience, an experience you don't remember, you don't forget for the rest of your life. And that's how you remember everything. And sometimes in your life, and I encourage you to do this, you'll be in a situation where an opportunity arises. But the opportunity doesn't appear to be such a wonderful opportunity. Maybe it's just to go to a gadol, go to meet. Your friends are going out Tuesday night, and they're like, "Yo, dude, want to get crazy? We're going to Bnei Brak. No, we're not going to block some buses and stuff like that. We're going to go gadolim shopping. We're going to go to the different, try, see if we where we can get it." And you do that, and you never forget that experience for the rest of your life. Never, ever. Baruch Hashem, I've chased after gadolim, and I've met a good deal of them. And I can tell you everything about my experience and what happened. Some great stories. But I remember the experiences. Rav Shlomo Heinemann tells a story about Rav Baruch Ber. Baruch Ber was learning in his study. And Rav Heinemann came to visit him. And he saw in the window that Rav Baruch Ber is doing a little dance around his table with a Talmud. Chassan must have got engaged. Very nice. He walks into the study. He didn't get engaged. He says, "My high, what's going on?" Rav Baruch Ber says, "I've been struggling over this Tosfos for so long. I couldn't get pshat." So this Talmud came over and I said, "What do you think about this Tosfos?" And just by him reading this Tosfos in a certain way, I chapped it. And such joy. It's amazing. A great rabbi, could it be? Rapam writes in his Sefer, he says, "You know, many of us think that the Gedolim, you know, were born Gedolim. They never struggled." And if I could add to that, you know, in the generation of Art Scroll with all these biographies, that's what it all, you know, there's that great book called Making of a Gadol, which was banned, and now you can get on eBay for, you know, $2,000-$3,000, because the book wrote about Gedolim who struggled to become Gedolim. How difficult it was to learn, how they got kicked out of Cheder. And those are great stories. Because those are Avram stories. Those are stories that, well, Avram had struggled. But he made it. And Yitzchak, and Yaakov, when they struggled. Do you ever see that in the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu only became, his last name was only given to him, Rabbeinu, when he was 80 years old. That's when Hashem revealed himself. 80. You don't have to wait till like Rabbi Akiva 40. So you're, you know, 19, 20. He's like, "Ah, it's not fair, it's not fair." You gotta struggle if you want it. It's not easy. You gotta struggle. And that's the first idea that we said as well. Number one, yes, maybe sometimes you have to cut your ties to certain areas of your life that it's hard to say. And you guys are experiencing this year maybe something difficult where your friends are telling you about their experiences, your friends that were in yeshiva with you last year. Sometimes you have to like cut a little bit of those type of ties because it's not easy because they're not living the same life as you. And sometimes you're in that situation, you have a great ability to share that situation with others, the struggles. And don't be a liar and say everything's great and I know how to read a Gemara and I'm going to... You tell, it's not easy for me either. That's fine. You guys have the great ability. You learn with Shana Bet guys. So don't lie to them and say, you know what? This Mishnah Berurah this morning, I went to the back and I looked at it in English because I don't know what it was talking about. Oh, you do that too. Oh, that's okay. Oh. Work hard. That's all we ask. Don't quit. Find that we live in a generation, unfortunately, that we like to quit because it's easy, because that's what we're encouraged to do. Excuse me for saying, but I think it already starts in school a lot of times, where the school's already encouraged. Yeah, you can't hack it. All right, you'll just go to the lower class. That's fine. I thought you had the ability to be in the high shiur. Now you can't. Okay. Go to another shiur. It's fine. Go to the remedial track. It's fine. It's not fine. You got to push yourself. You got to work really hard. I know I've said this many times, but in the world of excellence in Torah and Mada, you want to be successful in business, you got to work really hard. Unless your parents are loaded and you're going into the family business, shkoyach to you. You marry the right girl, you know, okay, maybe. But if not, you got to work really hard if you want to be successful in life. That's the only way to accomplish. And that's Avraham Avinu's lesson. Cut my tie. Yeah, you got to cut your ties. Yeah. And you got to believe in Hashem even when, what do you mean? You told me to go to Eretz Yisrael to have, this is my only child. If I have to kill my child now, hello, there's going to be a problem here. Hashem will figure it out. I don't know what's going to happen here, but something good. It's going to be something, don't worry. Lech lecha, go. Unbelievable. Take the journey. You know, imagine that guy, and this gets frustrating, right? One time Rav Schechter came in, and I was in, I used to give a shiur very, very often when I was in yeshiva. It was about the Mesorah of Torah. And the Rav Schechter, being the person that he was, not realizing what he was about to say, said, you know, a Jew has to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. But it's not as bad as people think it is. You know, sometimes you look at the breath of Torah, you look back in the base medrash and all the svarim, you go, I can't finish it. He says, it's not so bad. All you have to do is all of Torah, all of Bavli and Yerushalmi, all of Shulchan Aruch, right? He's like, yeah, that's it, oh, okay. Right? He says, you don't have to do every Rav Shimon Shkap, you don't have to do every Rav Chaim, you don't have to... You know, the guy's like, oh, okay, I didn't know it's that easy. Right? So sometimes it's frustrating. You could be like, I can't get through a daf. I'm going to finish Shas one day? Yes, you can. So my bracha to you, as we conclude the formal part of the evening, is that you take these lessons to your heart, to your lathe, and you struggle. It's a bracha almost. I'm telling you a bracha. Because the end of struggling will be such a wonderful success. It will be so amazing that you really will fulfill and feel fulfilled in these struggles. Amen.